All right, welcome everybody. On a Wednesday this week, Trash Talk with Tony Brasky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got Grant Richards and Tyler Sawa with me. Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for stopping by. Before we get into the program this week, I do quickly want to thank the sponsor of this week's episode. This week's episode, Trash Talk, is sponsored, as always, by Michigan-based Roast Number Coffee. Listen, I love coffee, and I can't get enough of Roast Number. If you love coffee, too, and or you're looking to try something new, I really do recommend giving Roast Number a try. Visit the website, roastnumber.com, and if you do make an order, maybe for the Nitro Cold Brew or their whole bean ground coffee, both really, really good, be sure to use my coupon code TONYD to save yourself 20% off. Capital T, capital D, no spaces. Thank you very much, Roast Number. All right, gentlemen, let's get into the program this week, and let's begin, as always, with the introductions. Let's start with Tyler. Hi, Tyler. How are you today? How is your Super Bowl Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday was phenomenal.
Oh.
Obviously, with Matthew Stafford winning the big game and, you know, just doing my regular Super Bowl, you know, I'd say tradition for the last 3 years, go over to my buddy's house, eat some good food, get some pizza, get some good mac and cheese.
Did you say good food? It's a good thing Mike's not here.
Real good food. And we got to do that on Sunday while seeing my boy, Matthew Stafford, finally get the job done and hold that Lombardi trophy.
There we go. Sounds like a fun Super Bowl Sunday for you. It was a good time for me, too. I mentioned last week I went over to Mike's house to watch with Mike and Eli. And, I mean, we talked about this before we went on the air today. But after the game, when the clock hit zero, Mike tackled Eli. Eli was recording the final seconds and then the celebration right after the clock hit zero. And while Eli was recording, Mike tackled him right into the couch. And then Mike afterwards got up, took his Lions hoodie off, dropped it on the ground, and then I don't remember what exactly it was. It was either an elbow drop or a knee drop, but he did something to that Lions hoodie. Mike was feeling it, dude.
I can just imagine all this. Mike seems very animated to do all these type of moves. So
the second the clock hit zero, Eli was recording. I was just sitting there. I was just in complete shock at what I watched. Because obviously the Rams made a comeback to win that game. And then they got the fourth down stop. I was just sitting there with my jaw on the floor. I was in complete shock at what I was watching. Meanwhile, Mike tackled Eli and then was doing knee drops and elbow drops. It was complete chaos in Mike's house with the clock at zero, but it was a good time, though. It sounds like Tyler had a good time, too. Tyler, you want to talk some baseball?
Stop. You can't even finish it. You can't even finish the word. You can't finish the word.
We're not talking baseball today. I don't want to have that conversation today. Maybe next week. I mean, we've teased it already enough. I feel like we eventually got to have that conversation. So maybe next week we'll have the conversation about how we're not feeling great about baseball. But not today. Today's a good day. So we're gonna save that sad baseball talk for another time.
We'll do a Mud Hens preview for the season because we can't talk about the Tigers right now. So
do you want to do a Toledo tailgate? Grant?
That was Grant's suggestion that we should go to Toledo and have a tailgate.
Toledo tailgate with Trash Talk boys. The alliteration. It's there. Has to happen. I'll call off work. I don't care.
I think Mike would enjoy that too, maybe.
Mike would be electric if we told him we're taking all days off and going to Toledo for opening day and we're gonna tailgate.
Well, his 21st is coming up. Maybe for his birthday we could take him to a Mud Hens game or Mud Hens tailgate. One of the two or both. Yeah.
Nothing says a great 21st birthday of
going to Toledo, Ohio,
and watching a Buttons game.
What are we doing for my 21st, boys? Hitting up the bars? Like, what are we going to do? I'm taking you to Toledo.
No shot to Toledo, but...
No, Toledo's beautiful. I love Toledo.
Love Toledo.
We'll see you this summer. We'll be at multiple Mud Hen games.
Yeah, with no Tigers yet, we're going to have to go to more than multiple. We're going to have to go to numerous games this summer.
Oh, no.
But we'll say quickly, I said last week that I thought this game was going to be a quick blowout, or like, I thought it could be a double-digit game, so I was glad.
Oh, the Super Bowl, yes. Not Mud Hens opening.
No,
game,
not the Mud Hens. No, not the Mud Hens. No, I'm glad that it was a good football game, came down to the wire, And, you know, we obviously got to see our guy winning. So I know we're going to get more into it, but that's one thing I wanted to get off my chest real quick.
My goodness, I literally thought you were talking about a Mud Hens game. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl. Yeah. Yeah.
No. But the Iowa Cubs and Mud Hens game wasn't as intense.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, the watching the Iowa Cubs will never be the same again now that Andrew Romine retired, but that's enough baseball talk for one day. Yeah, I'm also glad that it was a very close and entertaining game, because I mean, I didn't touch the spread for that game because I did not know what was going to happen. I saw it going either way. Like, I could have seen the Rams blowing them out, and then there was part of me going like, it's the Bengals, Tony, like they always play close. I could see them playing close here, so I didn't touch the spread for that reason. I really didn't know, but I agree with you. I'm glad that it turned out to be a great game. You know, we talked about this last week, the whole fact about how this is a fresh and enjoyable matchup. You know, it's two new teams. It was a really refreshing Super Bowl because of how these are two new teams, you know? And it lived up to that. It really did. And, you know, last week we made the comparison of how it kind of feels similar to the Bucks-Suns NBA Finals matchup from last year. That was two new teams, and it was refreshing. That's how this Super Bowl felt, honestly. It was two new teams. It was refreshing. It was a great game between these two new teams. Maybe not the last time we'll see these two teams. I mean, you know, the Bengals, I would love to say the Bengals are going to be back. You know, I'm like, Jay, those LSU Bengals, man, I love Joey B. I love Jamar. Bengals are a fun team. I would love to say they're going to be back, but, oh, man, the AFC's hard, tough, man. The AFC is tough. The NFL is tough, but especially the AFC. The Super Bowl odds already came out for next year, and I don't have the odds in front of me, but I think the top two are KC and Buffalo, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, just look at Aaron Rodgers. As, you know, a greater career he's had. I mean, he's only been to the Super Bowl one time, and once he made that, when he won that Super Bowl versus Pittsburgh, it was like his third, you know, year starting as a quarterback after Brett Favre retired. We're like, this guy's going to go to numerous Super Bowls, and I mean, he hasn't been there since beating the Steelers, so it just shows how really difficult it is to reach that Super Bowl game. And so we'll see. I mean, since he's had a really phenomenal year, so we'll see how they look going forward. I mean, they have a bright future, obviously.
You better get some offensive linemen on that team. Please protect Joey B. Please protect Joey B, man. Oh my goodness.
Almost hurt his knee again, dude. Oh, my goodness.
Gracious. Yeah. Anyway, Tyler, thanks for being here. Good to see you back as always. Let's move into Grant Richards. Hi, Grant. How are you? How was your Super Bowl Sunday? And as always, Tyler.
Mr. Richards, how was your sports betting this weekend?
I'm good. Making it through the week as usual. My Super Bowl Sunday, considering I made it there and back, drove through a blizzard to Livonia.
Oh, I also drove my family,
watched Super Bowl. had some great food. A little more on the not as American. I had some Swedish meatballs, little walleye cakes. So I guess that's pretty American. Sandwiches, you know the drill. But it was really great to watch the team that beat the Raiders lose to the quarterback I've been admiring and praising for the last 6 years. It was a great time. I also hit one of the squares. My dad hit two of the other squares. So raking in the cash at the Richards household. But we are good. We're riding high after that. And as far as sports betting went, hockey's been kind of putting me on the ropes. But week saving, Saturday afternoon, the Red Wings hit 4-2, baby. Once again, right when I needed it, I know, noon game, and we are up again, 10th straight winning week.
Hey.
Even with none of my Super Bowl bets hitting, I went nuts with some parlays. Jamar Chase owes me $300, but not really. But I'm good right now. I'm good right now. Tony, how is your sports betting?
Well, first of all, before I get into my sports betting week, I will say this. Tyler, do you want to guess how much money Grant bet on the Super Bowl?
I saw he made like a million parlays, but they're all like $1 each, so I don't know how much he ended up making. I'm going to guess...
No, not how much he made, how much he spent.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I know he made a million.
Yeah, he
made like a million different parlays.
Yes, yes, yes. Not as many as Jay, though. Parlay Jay. Yeah. I did not know Parlay Jay was even capable of that.
Grant, I'm going to guess you bet $150 on Super Bowl Sunday.
Sheesh. No, I went late, and I had 9 different dollar parlays.
He spent $9 on the Super Bowl. $9 on the Super Bowl for number 9.
I wish I could
rock like that, Tyler. I really do, but it was like I'm up on the week. I'm going to save some profits, and I'm going to do my best with 9.
Very smart. I agree. That's a very smart decision. Yeah, unlike someone else in the Trash Talk gang.
Yeah, Parlay J, I did not even think he was capable of what I saw on Sunday. But as for me, I didn't drop the bank on the Super Bowl, but yeah, we didn't win anything during the Super Bowl. Because of that, the winning streak is over at 10, unfortunately. It is what it is. You win some, you lose some. We'll bounce back. I will say this, though. What was really frustrating about my Super Bowl bets, though, is that, Tyler, I wasn't lying. You know last week how I said I was going to take Aaron Donald to win MVP? I did, and I think it should have hit. I think Aaron Donald should have won MVP. I mean, no disrespect to Cooper Kupp. I thought it should have been Donald, and I thought I was going to win some money off that. But
The defense was a big reason of winning that game, especially in the second half. They didn't really get to the quarterback as I thought they would in the first half, but that second half is kind of like how I imagine that game to kind of go, and that's when that pass rush really, really woke up. You saw Von Miller, you saw Aaron Donald consistently getting that backfield. A'shaun Robinson, a guy I'm also very happy for as well.
Former Lion wins the Super Bowl. Congrats. Yeah. ... A'shaun.
Yeah. he got in the backfield a couple times, and that's not his forte. You know, he's a nose tackle, but he did a really good job. So, the game, how it went in the second half, is kind of how I percept the game to go almost all the way through when I was predicting the game.
Yeah, well, I wasn't lying. I took Aaron Donald to win MVP, and I thought that was going to put me up on the week, but I got the notification. It's Cooper Kupp, and I was just, oh.
I think you got to go Stafford or Donald, though. Like, Cooper Kupp was great. Two touchdowns. But, I think you got to go either or those two. I thought Cooper Kupp was, the third one if you're going to go MVP.
Eli nearly drop kicked me when I said this, when me, Eli, and Mike were watching this together. But one of the things we were talking about during the game, Eli mentioned how he wants to see Stafford win MVP. And I was like, no, I want Aaron Donald to win MVP. And he's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I have money on Aaron Donald to win MVP. I really thought he should have been MVP. When I saw, after the Rams got that touchdown to go up late in the game, that shot of Aaron Donald on the sideline, I knew right then and there the Rams were winning this game. Aaron Donald looked ready. And I don't know if you saw the video, too, where McVay's like, the lines of, this is your moment, man. Go get it. Yeah. Go win a championship. Yeah, Aaron Donald, man. I thought he should have been MVP, but whatever. We'll bounce back, Grant. It is what it is. We'll bounce back. Let's go. All right, gentlemen, good to have you both in here on the show this week. Let's get right into it. Now, later in the program, believe it or not, I do want to talk Lions, because now that the Super Bowl is over, it is NFL offseason time, and the Lions have a pretty big offseason ahead of them. If they do things right, they could be interesting next year. That's all I'm going to say. A little bit of a tease. But to begin, let's obviously start with Super Bowl 56. Gentlemen, we've had a few days to kind of sit back and reflect on what we saw on Sunday night. Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl champion. Now, Tyler, I do want to start with you, but before we get to you, I do want to say this really quickly. Again, we've had a few days to kind of sit back and reflect on everything that we saw on Sunday and just reflect on the fact that Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl champion. Let me note, by the way, that Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford have the same amount of Super Bowl wins. Anywho, let me say this really quickly, and then we'll get to Tyler. obviously it feels great, you know, to see my guy get it done, or to see our guy get it done. It's awesome. With everything he went through here and how we weren't able to win with him in his first season away from the Lions, to see him win the freaking Super Bowl, man, I'm so happy for him. I'm happy for the Rams, too. You know, there's a lot of guys I'm happy for on that team. Aaron Donald, you know, if we have enough time later in the show, we'll talk about the whole Stafford Hall of Fame debate. But you want to talk about someone who really put an exclamation point on getting to the Hall of Fame with that Super Bowl win? Aaron Donald, man. Speaking of him, yeah, that Super Bowl win, that is the exclamation point on going to Canton. Shout out to Aaron Donald. Shout out to Cooper Kupp. Eli and Mike aren't going to like this. Maybe not Grant either, but like, maybe Tyler can agree with me here. I mean, I didn't think Sean McVay had the best Super Bowl. I didn't think he had the best playoffs in general, but I still like Sean McVay. I'm happy for him to get a Super Bowl too. I'm happy for the Rams. Good for them. Congratulations. But obviously, I am especially happy for number 9. Congratulations to him. Super Bowl champion. Let's go. It feels great, but at the same time, I will say this. It feels great, but it's also a little sad. Because it should have been us. It should have been us. It's like that meme. It should have been me. It really should have been us. Instead of a Rams jersey on Matthew Stafford, it should have been a Lions jersey. It would have felt so much different if he was here hoisting up that Lombardi trophy. It should have been us, and that does sting a little bit. According to Tyler, you know, never say never. Maybe he'll come back and deliver on that. Ah, who knows?
Detroit!
Oh, boy.
This is for you!
Okay, I would not be okay if he did that. If he came back.
Stafford's not emotional like that to do something like that.
No, he wouldn't do that, but yeah. Anyway, though, like, again, it feels great for Matthew. Congratulations to him and the Rams, but yeah, at the same time, it does sting a little bit because it should have been here. You know, while I was watching the celebration with Mike and Eli, and while Mike was tackling Eli, and while he was also dropping elbows and knee drops on his Lions hoodie, I was just sitting there watching the celebration. I was smiling. I was happy for number 9. But there was another part of me just like, oh, I wish it was here. I wish it was with us. But it is what it is. We'll talk about it later. I still feel really good about the direction of the Lions. I think even Tyler tweeted this out during the weekend. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler. But like, it needed to happen. Matthew Stafford and the Lions parting ways, it obviously needed to happen. It is what it is, but congratulations to him. It does sting a little bit that wasn't here, but congratulations to number 9. Super Bowl champion, number 9, I might add you. With that, let's go to Tyler. Give me your reaction to Matthew Stafford being a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, I mean, one, you know, obviously first initial reaction as the game is going on, and once Aaron Donald made the big play to end the game, it was initial happiness for Matthew Stafford. But then, like, as it's all, you know, coming in and before the NBC cut to the Olympics, which was ridiculous.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Dude, they literally spent like 5-10 minutes on the coverage and just went to the Olympics. I'm like, are you serious right now?
Oh my goodness.
But before they did all that, and we saw the Rams celebrate, and they're at the podium. Yeah, it was bittersweet. Like, obviously, I would have loved to see Matthew Stafford win it here. That would have obviously been a lot better feeling, a lot, you know, it would have felt way more to me. It would have been way more personal to me, and it would have been it would have been a surreal feeling. I don't even have words for what that feeling would be like. But overall, number 9 got me into the game. I've talked about this before, so I'm never going to cheer against Matthew Stafford. Like, at the end of the day, that's my favorite player. That's my guy. That's the guy that got me into the game. And to see him shut up a lot of critics and kind of prove the people that believed in him for so many years, to see him finally get the job done and shut up so many people, it was really, really, really satisfying. And for Matthew Stafford to be a big reason for them to be doing all this was also a very satisfying feeling, because we heard for so many years, Matthew Stafford can't win the big game. Matthew Stafford can't win a division. Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback, but he's not good enough for a Super Bowl. He shut up everybody this year, 1 year outside of Detroit. And that's where it's bittersweet, because you would have loved to see the Lions build a competent team around Matthew Stafford. And not by players, I mean a competent coaching staff, front office, and everything. Everything that involves in going into building a successful football team. I would have loved to see the Lions do that for him. And they obviously never did. And that part stinks. That part sucks. But for all the people that doubted Matthew Stafford for so many years, and even when he was a Ram, still doubted him, to see him get the job done, and like I said, be the big reason to get the job done, just an amazing feeling. You know, I'm always going to cheer for number 9 as long as he's not playing my team. You know, he's always going to be my guy no matter what. And I want him to just have a very successful career. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, stamp his way into the Hall of Fame. That would be a great feeling for a guy that I respect so much off and on the field because he did so much for the city of Detroit on and off the field. And he deserves it all, man. I'm so happy for him. So happy for number 9. And, you know, I'm glad he got the job done, man. Glad he got the job done in Matthew Stafford fashion, too. Having yet another fourth quarter comeback to win the football game.
Three fourth quarter comebacks in the playoffs. Three straight, too.
Yep.
Divisional, NFC Championship, and Super Bowl. Three straight fourth quarter comebacks. He's Mr. Fourth Quarter for a reason.
Yeah. Someone asked me this, like, who would you rather have than Matthew Stafford in the fourth quarter, like in a last-minute situation? And I'm like, I might sound biased, but like, I think he's maybe the best to do it. If not the best, he's definitely top three ever to do it in a last-minute situation. That man is clutch.
Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr would be the two guys outside of your Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, that I would take in that situation for sure.
And Tom Stafford, Brady, obviously.
Well, he's not. He's currently retired.
I'm talking just all time. I'm not even talking. Currently. I think Stafford's one of the best to ever do it.
Well, again, he's Mr. Fourth Quarter for a reason. He proved that in the playoffs. Again, three straight playoff games with fourth quarter comebacks. That's insane. That was also
a nerve about Matthew Stafford. He could do it versus bad teams. The guy just did it in the NFC Championship, like you said, NFC Division round, and the freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, so. The fact that he did it in these games, that's what makes it feel so much sweeter. And another point that you brought up that I really liked is, we've talked about this on the show before, but the fact that Stafford was a big reason why the Rams got to the Super Bowl and why the Rams won the Super Bowl, that also makes it feel really, really sweet. You know, one of the arguments that the anti-Stafford crowd will say is like, oh, it's a super team. Look at the team around him. Stafford is the reason they're winning these games. Stafford, it goes back to what we said after the Tampa Bay game. Jared Goff's not winning that game. There's only a few quarterbacks in the league that win that game, and Matthew Stafford's one of them. San Francisco in the NFC Championship game, down by 10 the fourth quarter, basically on the road because 49er fans took over that game. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that come back to win that game, but Matthew Stafford did it. And then in this game, the Super Bowl, the freaking Super Bowl with the whole world watching, there's only a few quarterbacks that come back in that situation without OBJ. And Stafford got it done. Like, he is a
zero run game.
Exactly. Stafford is a huge reason why the Super Bowl champs right now. A huge reason.
Yeah. No, I think people put these narratives like quarterbacks have to do literally everything to get credit. I'm like, what are we doing here, guys? You need a team somewhat to win. That obviously is the case. But you need a good quarterback. And Matthew Stafford is a big reason why they won these games. A big reason. I'm not going to say he's the only reason because it's football. He can't be the only reason.
He's not the only reason.
That's what I'm saying. That's just impossible. You can't be the only reason to win football games in the NFL. Especially in the playoffs. Like, come on, what is that narrative? What is that narrative? He's not like he's squeaking by with a phenomenal running game. He had zero running game, especially in that Super Bowl. That running game in the Super Bowl was disgusting.
Especially in the Super Bowl.
That was disgusting. And versus the Niners, it was disgusting, too. And mainly versus the Bucks too, was pretty disgusting.
Matthew Stafford is never going to have a good run game.
He's allergic.
I'm convinced of it at this point.
He's allergic.
He's never going to have a good run game. But you know what? He proved this season he'll overcome that, and he could still win games because of it. And by the way, too, I want to make this point really quickly as well. I mentioned earlier in the show how outside of Stafford, I'm also happy for the Rams because there's a lot of guys I'm happy for. And I mentioned Donald and Kupp and McVay. How did I forget to mention OBJ? I'm so happy for him. And when he was tearing up on the sideline after the game was over, that got me. I'm not going to lie. That got me a little bit. I'm like, oh, man. Good for OBJ, man. Good for OBJ.
OBJ fought through a lot, and it sucks that he had to, you know, leave that game early with the ACL injury. Yeah. But he's fought through a lot, too. A lot of adversity. He's had a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say as much as Stafford, but a lot of critics as well.
No, yeah. I mean, not as much as Stafford, but there were a lot of people who were saying that it was him in Cleveland, not the other way around.
I mean, he almost had me convinced, honestly, not going to lie. He had almost me convinced that I thought he was done, too. I thought he was washed. I thought he just wasn't the same guy that he was in New York, but we saw a complete different version of OBJ once he stepped foot in L.A., and Stafford really unleashed that rookie year New York Giants Odell Beckham Jr., and that was really cool to see, man, because, again, he is a guy who fought through a lot of adversity, too, with a lot of critics.
But I was told Stafford can't make guys better.
What kind of narrative is that? He's made so many guys better. He's made so many guys' contracts. Sorry to say, but Kenny Galladay.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry to say it. I mean, Kenny Galladay was terrible this year.
No, you're not wrong. He didn't score a touchdown this year, right?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. And I mean, I'm not going to put that all on Kenny G. I mean, a lot of it was
that. With all due respect, look at his current quarterback. And look at who his coach was. Look at the situation he's in.
The team in general was terrible. But I'm just saying, Stafford elevated multiple careers and got multiple guys' contracts. And in just another prime example, Cooper Kupp went from a good receiver to a great receiver. And we're looking at him as an elite guy now and a top three at his position now.
He won the MVP of the Super Bowl.
And he was in the MVP race in the regular season because of Matthew Stafford.
Didn't he win Offensive Player of the Year? I'm pretty sure. Continue regardless, with what you were going to say.
Cooper Kupp elevated, you know, his career this year with Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford has done that with many guys.
Cooper Kupp is Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay, I didn't even know that was an award, honestly.
Yes, it is, and Cooper Kupp won it.
Okay,
so there you go.
Yeah, he had a great year, a phenomenal year. He won the Triple Crown in football.
Mm-hmm.
Most receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. That's what it is. So he won the Triple Crown. So great year for Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford is a big reason why that happened.
Big reason why the Rams won the Super Bowl, and that's why they trade for him. They trade for him to get to this position and win the Super Bowl. That he delivered in year one. Tyler, I've asked you this before, but I want to ask you again right now, now that it's official. Did you think go back to when the trade first happened, Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff, 2 firsts, and I believe a third as well.
Yeah.
When that trade first happened, let's say we currently go back in time and tell our past selves, hey, that trade that just happened, the Rams are about to win the Super Bowl next year. Would you have believed yourself saying that?
It's the NFL, so anything could happen, obviously. But honestly, I had very high expectations for the Rams, especially with Stafford going there.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked by any of this. If you told me the Bengals, yes, absolutely. But Matthew Stafford going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl and proving people wrong, like, I'm not shocked by that at all, honestly. So, no, I can't. I'm not even trying to sound like I'm right here, but, like, I'm really not shocked. I remember as soon as the trade broke down, I was on Xbox, and I was talking to my uncle, and he's telling me, oh, Stafford's a loser, he's not winning. I said, put $20 right now. Stafford will win a Super Bowl at some point during his Rams tenure. I thought it was gonna be year one? Maybe not, but I thought at some point for sure that he was gonna win a Super Bowl, and he got it done year one.
I did not think it was gonna happen this quickly. Year one? That's insane. I mean, I'm happy, obviously, but I did not think it'd be this quick.
He's a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that he's proved that he can win outside Detroit, you know, unrestricted free agent 2020.
Oh, yeah. Until that contract extension comes later this summer, spring.
That's going to hurt the soul. My whole narrative is gone.
Derek Carr's about to get extended. Matthew's getting extended. Who's going to be our quarterback in 2023? Oh, my goodness.
Malik Willis.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, that's a good topic maybe for later, especially as we get closer to the draft. But, Yeah, go number nine. Go number nine. Super Bowl champion. Grant, we'll get you in here as well. Then we'll end off the Super Bowl talk. So, Grant, here's what I'll ask you. Did this championship season for Matthew Stafford change your perspective on him at all? Well, first of all, let me ask you this, Grant. I mean, before this season, did you think it was more Stafford's fault or the Lions' fault that it never worked?
I never really thought it was Stafford's fault. I mean, there were plays that I thought he could have made at times. Like, were there games that the Lions lost on his arm? Yeah, sure. Every quarterback has those, but you can tell that when your quarterback has to go out and get 40 points or 30 points a game, you can't really blame him for not doing that every single time when you can't build around him. And the fact that he gets put on a competent, well-built team and wins it all the first year kind of shows it can't be his fault.
So then from there, I'll go back to the initial question I was going to ask you. Did this Super Bowl winning season for Matthew Stafford at all change your perspective on him as an outsider, not a Lions fan, as someone from the outside?
Honestly, not really. I think it more solidified my belief in him. I mean, you guys can go back over the years that I've been on the show riding for Stafford, saying like he can get it done. But I kind of came into this kind of similar boat with Tyler, and shout out Michael Pierce for actually betting the Rams to, I believe, win the West and the Super Bowl. I was kind of on that plane too. Like when I was with my buddies, when we saw Stafford get traded, we were like, oh, they're a long run in the playoffs at least, knowing that he has to go up against the Bucks and everything. But no, to answer your question, no, it didn't change anything. It just really solidified the tier I have Matthew Stafford at.
From there, let's move into the whole Matthew Stafford Hall of Fame debate that's currently going on right now, which may or may not be my fault that this is a thing, because right after the Super Bowl, I tweeted that Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer, don't at me, and the tweet went viral, and now a couple days later, everyone's debating about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. But like, I'll say this regarding that. I definitely think he's on track to be a Hall of Famer for sure. If you give him at least two more seasons with Sean McVay in LA, and it's two more winning years where they get to the playoffs and maybe make another run at another Super Bowl, and when it's all said and done, they average about combined regular season and postseason, they average around 14, 15 wins a year. Maybe Matthew makes another Pro Bowl because that's such a big deal. If he gets all that done, then I definitely think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Tyler, he just liked my tweet.
Just liked your tweet right now. I didn't like it on Sunday, so I just liked it right now.
There it is. Well, let's get you in here now. So this whole Hall of Fame debate with him, what's your thoughts on that?
I think he's solidifying, you know, he's making his resume bigger to stamp his ticket as a Hall of Famer. That's what I was saying. That he's a lock. But I didn't remember what your exact words were. But I do think he's a Hall of Famer. I think if he were to call it a career right now, I think it would be controversial. But I do think he's a Hall of Famer. And obviously he's not doing that. Actually, Kelly confirmed that he's not doing that. So he's playing next year for sure. And we knew that. But yeah, I mean, I think Stafford, just statistically, even though he hasn't won the big games till this year, like he had 12 years of not winning big games, never won a playoff game, never won a division title. I think if we're just going statistically as far as the player and not looking at the situation that he was in, and that's how it should be when you're basing off a Hall of Fame, I think he should definitely be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's led in numerous passing categories at certain ages of his career. I mean, he's broken a lot of records. I think he's a Hall of Famer. If we're putting other guys in the Hall of Fame, I know they're not in the Hall of Fame yet, but I think some people presume that, like, Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. I think some people presume...
Someone mentioned Joe Flacco's name. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now we're comparing Stafford to Joe Flacco.
No, that's a joke. Philip Rivers at least has, like, had a successful career, so, like, you can make that argument. But if we're going to presume Philip Rivers and Matt Ryan as Hall of Famers, I think we could presume Matthew Stafford's Hall of Famer. I know Matt Ryan won an MVP, and Stafford has never done that, but... I don't know. I think Stafford statistically has shown that, you know, he's a very successful quarterback and deserves the gold jacket. And he's obviously now got the big monkey off his back. He won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really big one to kind of stamp him as a Hall of Famer. And, you know, he's going to have more years to prove that he is a Hall of Famer. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think if we're considering Russell Wilson, too, if he's a Hall of Famer, I think Matthew Stafford should be a Hall of Famer. It just depends on what those guys end up doing. If they get in the Hall of Fame, I think absolutely Stafford should be in the Hall of Fame.
My biggest argument is what you just said, Stafford's numbers. And you'll get the people that are like, oh, but that's because he was always trailing in Detroit, you know. I could put up those numbers where I'm always throwing the football, especially to Calvin Johnson. Like, the numbers are the numbers, though. Like, Stafford's got some of the best all-time passing numbers in the league. The history of the NFL. And now he's got a Super Bowl on top of that. And this is where my point comes into play. The point where I said if you give him a couple more winning seasons in Los Angeles with Sean McVay, a few more playoff runs, maybe another Super Bowl, maybe another Pro Bowl, because again, that means so much. I saw someone, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman talk about how, oh, he's only been to one Pro Bowl. Oh yeah, because Pro Bowls mean so much.
It's a fan voting thing.
Who watches the Pro Bowl? Like, whatever. But my point still stands. Give him a few more winning seasons in Los Angeles, maybe another Super Bowl run, and then we can really say, like, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer for sure.
Unfortunately, Stafford's only had 1 year left in L.A., and then he's going to come back to Detroit in 23. So.
Well, I mean, if he came back to Detroit and delivered us a Super Bowl, then there is absolutely
no argument. There's no argument.
There is no argument that he is for sure a Hall of Famer if he comes back here and delivers us a Super Bowl. Grant, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. Again, as an outsider, not a Lions fan, not necessarily a big Stafford guy as me or Tyler, this whole Stafford Hall of Fame debate, what's your take on that?
I think he has Hall of Fame level talent. Like, he has the ability to hang with most, if not all, quarterbacks in the NFL or in the Hall of Fame. But I think, like kind of what Tyler was saying, if he stepped away right now, I think it's very contentious. But I think you need some sort of playoff success to really cement yourself in there. Like, you can put up good numbers in the regular season every single year, and you're just a good quarterback. But, like, I mean, just kind of on par with what you guys are saying, like, right now, I don't think he necessarily gets in first ballot or anything like that. But you give him a couple more years with a good team, and after seeing the numbers he put up with very minimal help in Detroit, I think he has to be at least in. Maybe, again, maybe not a first ballot guy, but I think when it's all said and done, yeah, I think you put him in the Hall of Fame. But I don't know. It's still borderline for me right now. Like, I don't – like, I know he's a great quarterback. I know he's gotten it done. Yeah. He's done crazy things. But
yeah.
I can't hand him the gold jacket right now.
That's fair.
It's a controversial topic. I understand it. Hasn't really had much playoff success till this year. I understand it, but I think just, I don't know, maybe I'm biased. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think it's a little, I agree with Kelly. I think it's a little unfair because the narrative is always changing. It went from, he can't win the big games, you can't win a Super Bowl with him, you can't win playoff games with him, and now that he got all that done, it's like, he's not a Hall of Famer. It's
it
like,
just never
he
ends.
Doesn't have Hall of Fame talent. It's a participation trophy if Stafford gets in. It's like, oh, come on.
It never ends. Like, dude.
The narrative is always going to, it's always going to be something.
Like, Tony, remember before the season told me, he said, all I want to see is Stafford win a division and one playoff game, and then I'm satisfied.
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't, but now with you seeing everything raise, you know, like, we wouldn't have been satisfied anymore because it just keeps getting crazier and crazier, the expectations.
Some of you are making me want him to get another Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Did you see my new crazy scenario that I threw out there?
What was your new crazy scenario?
The Lions win the NFC North next year. The Rams are the first wild card team.
Oh,
Ford Field, Lions versus Rams.
Oh, no. having to root against Matthew Stafford in the playoffs. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that'd be insane.
That'd be something.
Could you imagine? Oh, that wouldn't feel right. Matthew Stafford is in Ford Field for the Lions' first home playoff game in forever.
And it's his first return back.
But he's on the other team. Oh, my goodness. That would be insane. I would root for the Lions, by the way, obviously. But that would...
Oh, yeah. God bless Stafford. But it all ends at that game.
Yeah, I'd be rooting for our number two overall pick pass rusher to go get him. For sure. Oh, absolutely. Whether that's Hutch or KT, go get him.
but that fits in with the narrative. Not the narrative, but with my plan. Matthew Stafford loses the playoff game to the Lions. Doesn't sign the extension of the year. He comes back. He goes, oh, my God, this team is legit.
Yeah, because we're moving off Jared Goff after he wins us the division.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be a double revenge game. Jared Goff and the Rams, too.
If Jared Goff wins the division here and then wins a playoff game and then we say, go away, that would be terrible. That would be so bad.
Okay,
I couldn't do that to Jared. No way.
If he's not the reason we're winning games, I'm gladly willing to move off of him. If he's like Jimmy G, I'm gladly willing to move off of him. If Jared's the reason we're winning games, no, it's completely different.
Matthew,
if,
I love you. I can't do it.
No, absolutely not. But if Jared is just here, he's like, you know, he's good, but he's not good enough, and you can definitely upgrade, I'm going to upgrade. That's Matthew Stafford in free agency.
All right, well, now that we're talking Lions, let's move into our final topic for today's show, and that will be the Lions in our offseason ahead. But before we get to that, I do quickly want to ask you this, Tyler. I had someone ask me this after the Super Bowl. I want to get your very quick thoughts on this as well. So very quickly, I had someone ask me after the Super Bowl, so are we done now rooting as hard as we were for Stafford in these playoffs? Like, are we done rooting for him that much going forward? My answer is yes. I'm still going to be rooting for Stafford, but not nearly as much as I was during this postseason run. Like, we always bring up the JV Astros example as a comparison or whatever. In 2017, I was rooting my butt off for the Astros for JV. But in postseasons after that, yes, I was rooting for JV, but I wasn't like full on, let's go Astros, you know? I think I'll kind of be that same way with Stafford. I'll still be rooting for him, but probably not nearly as hard as I was in these playoffs. What about you?
Yeah, I think job is well done here. Like, he got the job done.
He got the job done. Yeah, he got his ring.
I feel accomplished now as a Matthew Stafford fan. Like, he got that monkey off his back. Mm-hmm. So I'm the same way. Like, even last year, I was really big into the regular season with Matthew Stafford. Like, as far as, because they played a lot of 4 o'clock games and they had Sunday night games, Monday night games. So I was really like involved and engaged in those games for Stafford. But I mean, I'm still obviously going to watch for him. I'm still going to obviously look out for him. Yeah. But, like, it doesn't end, but you know, no, it's not going to be as. Yeah. I don't need to cheer as hard for anymore. I feel accomplished now that Stafford got the monkey off his back. He flipped the narrative around. He won the big game. I feel accomplished as a fan of Matthew Stafford that. I don't need to see anything more out of him. Like, I don't think he has to prove anything else now. I think he's done it. And, you know, if it's not affecting the Lions, like, in the playoffs, like, if the Lions are not in the playoffs and the Rams are in the playoffs, like, I'm going to lean more towards the Rams. But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going to be as heavy going on for Stafford. The only thing I think is different with the JV and Stafford thing is JV, I think everyone knew that JV was elite. And everyone knew JV was a great pitcher. But with Stafford, there were so many doubters. I think that's why we embraced Stafford a little more than I would say JV, even though we cheered for JV in the Astros. But I think it was a little different because no one really doubted JV. No one thought JV was bad at baseball. A lot of people thought Stafford was just okay. Like, I think everyone knew JV was elite.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I was rooting for Stafford, to prove the doubters wrong. And he did that. He proved the doubters wrong. He got a Super Bowl. I came into these playoffs, as Tyler said a few minutes ago, I came into these playoffs saying, just get a playoff win. Because I didn't think he was going to beat the Bucs in Tampa Bay. So I was saying, just get a playoff win, I'm satisfied. You proved the doubters wrong from the standpoint of, you can win a division and get a playoff win with him. I'm satisfied with that. But the fact that he won the Super Bowl, now I can sit back and rest. My job is done. I'll still be rooting for him, but my job is done. He proved the doubters wrong. He's got a ring. I can rest now.
But you know what's going to happen? He's going to lose a playoff game and all hell's going to break loose. Stafford can't win the game. We told you guys.
He needs a super team around him to win.
Like, you know, you know I'm just going to come back around. I'm going to have to embrace him again.
At that point, I'm just going to mute you and just ignore you because I'll just have nothing to say to you. But, yeah, my job is done. I can rest now. But with that, go number 9. Congratulations. That's how we'll wrap up the Super Bowl 56 talk. Go number 9. Congratulations to him and the Rams. But with that, very quickly to wrap up today's show, let's move into the Lions because, again, as I teased earlier in the program, now that the Super Bowl is over, it's off-season time, and it is a big off-season for the Lions. I'm pretty sure Tyler is your co-host, Malcolm, who said this on Twitter on Tuesday, and I agree with it 100%. If the Lions do this thing right, they can definitely be a lot more interesting next season. I mean, they've got, what, 10 picks in this upcoming draft, including 5 in the first 100, I believe?
It's 5 in the first 100. Then we'll see what the compensatory picks end up being. Yeah. Those haven't been officially released. But, yeah, it's going to be anywhere from 9 to 11.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of draft picks in this upcoming draft, including 2 first-rounders, too. And then how much cap space do the Lions currently have? Do you have those numbers in front of you?
Yeah, without doing any restrictions of contracts or cutting any guys, which they're going to do, obviously, like a name to look out for is Trey Flowers because they could free up his money. As of right now, I believe it's around $24 million, but it could definitely get up to like the 30s. Yeah, it can get to like the 30s.
Okay, so you've got a lot of draft picks and you've got some cap space. So yeah, Malcolm's 100% right. If they do this thing correctly, I don't see why the Lions can't at least double their wins, 3-6. I don't see why they couldn't do that. So if they do this thing right, they could be a lot more interesting next season. I'm not saying playoffs, but they could definitely take big steps forward in their rebuild. So with that, to end off today's show, what I want to do very quickly with you, Tyler, is just kind of give me a little off-season outlook for the Lions, because it is going to be, like I said, a big offseason for this football team. So give me a little quick offseason outlook for this team right now.
Yeah, so really quickly, obviously you got a lot of holes to fill in this offseason. And like Tony mentioned, you got a lot of resources to fill in those holes. But I don't think this is a one offseason work where you're going to like become the team that you want to be ultimately.
No, that's not all I'm saying either.
No, yeah. But to be a better team from last year, obviously, yeah, I think you could obviously do that. And you have definitely the resources to do that, and you should definitely be better than what you were in 2021. I mean, but as of right now, I mean, you don't know the status of Aaron Rodgers, so that division could be, you know, opening up wide open after that if he's out the division. So, you know, all hell breaks loose in the NFC North after that. But as far as the Lions and what they should do with these resources, in my opinion, I think they definitely need to get another pass rusher, and I think they have a prime opportunity to do that with the number 2 pick. You got 2 prospect edge rushers that are definitely worth the pick at number 2, in my opinion, with either Thibodeau or Hutchinson. So if they can go one of those ways with that pick, I think that fills in a big hole, getting a really nice edge rusher to go along with the guys that you have already with Romeo Okwara and some of the defensive tackles you drafted last year with Levi Onwuzurike and Aleem McNeil, and Michael Brockers is on your team still. So just to kind of go along with the guys you already have. I think the interesting question this offseason is how are they going to fill in that safety position, because that was a position that they needed a lot of help in last year. They struggled pretty much all year on that safety position. Tracy Walker had a good year, but he's an unrestricted free agent. It's going to be interesting. Do the Lions want to bring back Tracy, or do they want to go maybe in the market and maybe spend a little more money? A guy like Marcus Williams is out there. He has a connection with Aaron Glenn, and he's obviously a playmaker. So it's going to be interesting to see maybe the Lions maybe dip their toes in that aspect and maybe spend a little more money in that safety position and move off of Tracy Walker. That's something I would definitely keep an eye out for. And then obviously the big question is what you're going to do with the receiver position, because right now you have Amon Ross St. Brown, but after that, a lot of question marks at receiver position. Josh Reynolds, unrestricted free agent, did a solid job for you when he came in middle through the season. You got Cephas coming back off injury, but you assume the Lions are probably going to address that position at some point during this offseason, if that's either free agency or if that's via the draft. I mean, both aspects have a lot of talented guys. And free agency, you're talking about guys like as big as Davante Adams, which, you know, he's probably not coming to Detroit. But then you got guys like Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, Mike Williams. I've seen the name Michael Gallup being thrown around, even though he's recovering off an ACL injury. A lot of talented receivers that the Lions could maybe go out and get in this offseason and free agency. or if the Lions want to go out in the draft, a lot of talented receivers in this draft as well. So I think that's a big position of the Lions are going to have to address this offseason. Maybe you go out and get one of those free agents. Maybe you go draft a guy. Maybe you do both. And then I think a big question as well is, what are they going to do with the quarterback position? If I had to guess right now, I think you probably stick with Jared Goff for another year. It doesn't really make much sense to move off of him right now because of the restriction of his contract last year. If you were to move off of him this year, it would be like $35 million, I believe, or $30 million. So not worth the cap hit, especially where you are as a team right now. So you probably keep Jared for another year and then make that decision after 2022, which you want to do with the quarterback position. So, I mean, as far as the draft and drafting a quarterback, I don't really expect it to happen. I mean, maybe. I mean, the Lions could do it if they really like a guy. You could either take one at two or move up in this draft for a guy if you really, really like him. But I just don't think there's a guy really worth it. But the Lions do have they're in position to do something like that because they have Goff for a year. So you could technically have that rookie quarterback sit behind Jared for a year, kind of learn the NFL game. And then whenever you're ready to put him in that situation, you could put him in that situation. But I don't think that's a situation the Lions are going to attack this offseason. I feel like that's something to really look out for in 2023, which you want to do. You could either keep Jared, you could use a draft pick on a quarterback, or you can go in the free agency market depending on who's out there, or the trade market depending on who's out there as well. So I would say that's the quick recap. You got your offensive line figured out already. But you got some other positions you have to figure out. Linebacker, safety, an edge rusher, receiver, and that's really about it. Maybe another tight end too, but not a starter. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's all about adding more talent and continuing to take positive steps forward in this rebuild. Very quickly, one move, whether that's draft or free agency, that you'd like to see the Lions make this offseason.
Okay, I would like to see in free agency. I would love if they went out and got a elite safety in Marcus Williams. I think that'd be a huge addition to the team. I think that would be a great fit for us. I think Aaron Glenn would definitely love to have a guy like Marcus Williams on his defense. Yeah. And yeah, obviously, he was really good for New Orleans when he was there. And he's a playmaker, man. He'll get you some interceptions. So I would love to see the Lions maybe go out there and get a guy like Marcus Williams. And in the drafts, you know, I want to see us get an edge rusher, obviously. And then I want to see us add to that receiving core. Get one of these top guys. I feel like that would be a great addition as well.
Yeah, my one move, I'll keep it simple. It might be the boring pick, but I'll keep it simple. Number two overall, give me one of those pass rushers, whether it's Hutch, KT, give me one of them. I'm seeing a lot more mock drafts, Tyler, where Jacksonville takes an offensive tackle, number one overall. That's
perfect. I think they are.
That's perfect.
I think we're going to have the choice between both of them. When we're talking throughout the season, it's like we're probably just going to get whoever Jacksonville doesn't take. I think Jacksonville is going to really take an offensive lineman. And I think it makes sense, man. You got to protect Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. That gives us gives us our choice between Hutch or KT. That's a win.
That's great.
Because
if you have trust in your GM, he's obviously going to go with the guy that he likes more. And then I think as a fan, if you have trust in your GM, I think that's really a sure feeling.
Absolutely. Well, good show this week, boys. Good show as always. Well, next week, we could talk some baseball, I guess. It was a happy show this week, but next week, Tyler will have the baseball talk. How's that sound?
Sure.
you like that, Grant?
Yeah, hopefully we get some progress or something to like actually talk about.
Progress. That's a good one.
All right, so we can talk about how great the baseball season would be.
We'll save that for next week. But anyway, good episode this week, boys. Grant, Tyler, thank you as always for being here and chatting it up. Go Nine, congratulations. I'm excited for this Lions offseason too. So with that, gentlemen, thank you as always, and thank you all so much for listening as well. Thank you to Roast Dumber for sponsoring this week's episode. For Grant, Tyler, my entire crew, my name is Tony Obrowski. Thank you all so much for listening. Grant, end us off with a be positive.
Don't forget, buy Roast Dumber, be positive.
Be positive. See you all in the next episode.